Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with an investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through J.W. Cole Financial, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI, an SEC-registered investment advisor. 674 South College Avenue, Bloomington, Indiana. Welcome to the big show, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Thank you so much. I'm back in the studio this week after a little family vacation. Last week it was fall break here in the Monroe County School System. So like I've been saying for quite some time, anytime the schedule has a week off, it costs me more money. So folks, whoever's doing the scheduling, if you want to save old Dave a few bucks, do away with fall break, do away with some of these long weeks, and I'll have more money in my pocket later on. No, we had a great time with friends and family, so I look forward to the next opportunity to take off. But I will be gone next week, not on vacation, but at the Ed Slot Elite IRA Advisor Group. But don't despair. We have two quality gentlemen that will be in the studio, Wayne Thacker, Ryan Belcher, both in tune next week with the teachers and the public employees. And again, they're going to be talking directly to them as those folks begin preparing for potential retirement. So, hey, we have a good show today. Rod Holloway will be calling in just a few minutes to talk about the economy, the Fed, and earnings season. It's kind of in full swing right now, and we've had some surprises so far. I'll be talking about our upcoming class next Wednesday night that starts at Ivy Tech and through the Lifelong Learning Center. It's actually based on our book, Today's Guide to Retirement Planning, a resource for adults age 50 and older. It's for that retirement readiness class. It's for those folks that are kind of getting ready for retirement. We're in the midst of a class right now on Rejuvenate Your Retirement. So that's focused on people that are already in retirement. And then later on, Brian Bell, healthcare expert, will be calling in to talk about open enrollment for Medicare and also why there may be a big surprise for about 7 million Americans when it comes to paying for Medicare Part B in January. But before we get to that, let's do a little news of the week brought to you by Bloomington Affordable Health Storage. Reclaim the clutter areas of your home with help from Bloomington Affordable Health Storage on 17th Street, newly remodeled with 24-hour on-site management, offering pickup and truck rentals. Call about their fall special at 812-339-4221. U.S. stocks did advance on strong Citigroup gains, according to the AP. Stocks notching their best gain in nearly 2 weeks as investors responded to some positive earnings surprises. Financial stocks, including Citigroup, after they reported better than expected profits for the third quarter. You know, as you look at the expectations last week from Yahoo, we talked about the earnings expectations of the S&P 500 companies are expected to be down about 5.7% from third quarter to 2014. So I said on Glass in the Morning, if companies come in and beat expectations, look for the markets to go up. The Dow finished over 17,000. Puerto Rico and U.S. are in debt talks. They're talking about issuing a super bond that would replace all the existing debt in Puerto Rico. Of course, existing debt holders would have to take a haircut, but maybe you'd have more certainty in getting payments on Puerto Rican debt. This is a really important change in Puerto Rico's relationship with the U.S. government, which has resisted wading into the island's debt problems. The super bond would be needed to clear high political hurdles, of course, from Washington and in Puerto Rico to become a reality. Discussions with bondholders over the size of the haircut they're going to have to take. So you're not going to get face value. You're going to have to take a haircut. Are going to have to go through probably some challenging hoops. November could mean lost paychecks if Congress doesn't increase the debt ceiling. Here we go again, folks. According to Reuters out of Bloomberg, military officers, federal workers who don't get caught up in politics might suddenly have a reason to care. Congress has until early November to comprise a deal on raising the debt ceiling, or they might not get paid. Since March, the U.S. Treasury has been using extraordinary measures to stay under the borrowing threshold, basically waiting for lawmakers to increase it. We know they will. It's just a matter of how much they're going to fight over it. The debt ceiling needs to be lifted by November 3rd, 2 days earlier than previously estimated by Treasury Secretary, and they warn that after that, the Treasury will only have $30 billion in cash on hand. Sounds like a lot to you and me, but that's not very much, especially when the work from a bipartisan group out of New York City estimated that payments to just Social Security, which are $14 billion in November, $2.7 billion in military pay in November, $4.7 billion in federal salaries in November, the Treasury might have to prioritize paying only some bills, the center said. Things are going to get hairy, folks, around this debt ceiling talk. Guaranteed that. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by the one and only Hot Rod Holloway, as he'll get us up to speed on the markets, earnings seasons, and what to expect going forward. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Rod Holloway now, the portfolio manager over at our office, CFCI, and the also frequent caller to the Glass in the Morning show on Mondays and Fridays, joins me now on the phone. And Rod, you know, when world-class economists can't even agree on a single data point, like when coming interest rate increases are going to happen, it's no wonder the markets act a little bit nervously. But I can say this, that when you go back to just a couple weeks ago, and you read all of the data on where economists felt like earnings were going to come in, this is what you're big on. Let's get back to fundamentals and earnings. They expected earnings to be down about 5.7% from last year. And here we go this week, Rod. We've had a couple of pretty positive earnings reports to turn this thing around, maybe.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that it's similar to what happens many times with Wall Street, is they overshoot in both directions. So, yes, we knew that earnings had to be reduced, but I think what they did is they kind of took the energy and the metals and mining sector, which earnings had to be dramatically reduced, and kind of spread that across everywhere. And not all sectors have had the same troubles that the energy and the metals and mining area had. Matter of fact, we've seen, and we've talked about this a little bit on Glass's show in the morning, you know, everybody's been so fearful of what China was going to do to earnings. But yet, in certain circumstances, Nike, Apple, we don't know exactly, but just channel checks are telling us that sales are going well with the iPhone 6S over there. We know with Nike that they did very well over there. So, yeah, it's not straight across the board an earnings problem for everybody. It is very select in sectors and certain companies that are going to have those issues. Now, most of the companies did have to have some earnings pushed down a little bit, especially global companies, because we know that the currency exchange is not a benefit to them right now, because the dollar has increased in value and most of the other currencies around the world have gone down slightly in value.
Now, Rob, we also have debt ceiling talks now right around the corner, of course, looking for another hairy showdown. What kind of a mark do you think that will make on the overall market?
Well, short term, it always adds volatility. Nobody wants to see things like that happen. They don't like to see those battles. We've been through this before. We've seen it. It came up to the midnight hour before we actually did something last time. And in all reality, it didn't hurt the market at all. Some would even argue, hey, it's not a bad thing to shut some of the government down for a little while, just make sure they don't collect a paycheck if they're shut down and not going to work. But it's not going to have a big impact on the economy. But short term, the market never likes uncertainty of not knowing what's going to happen. So if they don't get a deal done, we'll see added volatility in the market. But I think we've played this game enough times that I think the politicians know that they don't need to be messing with these types of things. They need to get it and move on and figure out a way to better address these issues rather than waiting to the last minute and holding out on certain deals like the debt ceiling and the budgets and those types of things, and actually get to work and do something before deadlines hit.
Yeah, if we only relied on tax receipts, according to the Wall Street Journal, 69% of our obligations from the U.S. government could be met. Rod, back to the market. S&P was down 6.4% according to By the Numbers total return back in the third quarter 2015. Of course, we've been talking with lots of people that have seen that happen on their statement, but that's the eighth time since 1990 that the stock market index was down at least 5% in the third quarter. But here's the thing. The S&P was up in the next fourth quarter, six out of seven times, only failing to rebound in the fourth quarter of 2008. And during those six positive fourth quarters, the three-month average gain, Hot Rod, was 12.7%. Do you think we can have a replay of those good numbers?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if we'll go quite as far as double digits, although we may get there close, especially to hit a lot of people's year-end targets that you had before the year happened. You would have to have a pretty strong rally, because I think now, with a strong beginning to October, I think the S&P's down maybe 2.5%. Mm-hmm. So we've already picked up some of those losses that we had. So to get up to a 6-8% year-end total return on the S&P 500, you'd need to see a pretty good rally. Right now, fundamentally, there's no reason that we shouldn't have a rally heading into year-end. I think we needed a correction. We needed to reset some points. We've done that, but we don't see that there's a major catastrophe going on in the earnings and the fundamentals across the board for all of them. Like I said, you've got some select stories to where they have fallen on some hard times. That's predominantly in that energy and metals and mining. You may have some individual stories in certain other sectors, especially more aggressive sectors, some of the biotechs, but we're talking the more speculative biotechs, not the big boys who have quality products, or even some of the cloud computing, the newer internet security software. That this isn't the old McAfee and those types of things that protected your internet now. This is more the mobile security things. And some of those got a little bit ahead of themselves. There is great growth in the future for cloud computing and that type of security software. But they ran a little bit too fast and probably weren't quite ready to be where they're at. So some select stories. But overall, I think you're going to have a decent earnings season, knowing that we've already pushed those earnings expectations down.
Of course, past performance is no guarantee of future results. But right as we also look at the other talk of the town, it has been the talk of the town for quite some time, is the Fed. As of last Friday, according to By the Numbers, the bond market had priced an 8% chance the Fed would raise rates in October, a 37% chance of a rate hike in December, but all the way to a 47% chance of a rate hike not until their January meeting. And then the Wall Street Journal today said futures markets traders now see no chance of a rate increase this month and only a 1 in 3 probability of a move by year end. I pretty much look at that, Rod, and think that's like trying to pick, you know, the top 10 preseason guys in basketball each year. I mean, no one really knows until this thing plays out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and the thing is, you've had a couple of Fed presidents come out recently and say they don't believe that the economy is in a position that you should increase rates. So I think that there's going to be quite a few arguing against it for this year. As they continue to say they're data dependent, you know, the data, while it's not necessarily bad data, it's not strengthening data. So there isn't necessarily a sense of urgency to start raising the rates. Now, from my perspective, I've been saying this for a while, I'd like to see that first rate increase, just get it done and over so the whole world can realize, you know what, we're making far too big of a deal out of this Fed funds increase. It's 25 basis points, that's 0.25% on an overnight lending rate between financial institutions. Now, there is a trickle-down effect through the economy and other interest rates. It will impact interest rates, but only slightly. You know, mortgages aren't going to go from the 4% to slightly under 4% to all of a sudden an 8% mortgage because we get a 25 basis point increase. So it's going to be nice to finally let that happen and everybody can figure out that, you know what, the world doesn't come to an end. The market doesn't just crash and go to zero because we get a 25 basis point increase.
Hot Rod Holloway has been our guest. Rod, we'll let you go. Get back to Mackenzie's birthday dinner and wish her a happy birthday from her old Uncle Dave. How about that?
We will do that. Have a great rest of the show, Dave.
All right, I'll see you in the morning, buddy. We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the upcoming class at Ivy Tech that is based on our book, the new book that came out in the spring, Today's Guide to Retirement Planning, a resource for those over age 50. Give you a little preview of that and tell you how to enroll. It kicks off this coming Wednesday, and it's a Wednesday night and a Wednesday night, so you definitely want to sign up before time runs out. And then we're going to talk about a few unexpected expenses that you might find in retirement. You know, we do a pretty good job of talking about income replacement and the known costs that we all think about, but what are some of the unknowns? So what are some of those things that come out from nowhere? We want to make sure you're prepared for those as well. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Okay, so you have to take every moment you have to do the things you need to do. So I brought my flight information with me to the show for my trip next week to Denver for the Ed Slott Elite IRA Advisor Meeting. So I won't be here on Thursday for the big show. Wayne Thacker and Ryan Belcher will be pitch hitting for me. I will give a call in to check in on the guys. But here I'm checking my flight, and I have a terrific Southwest flight. Just kills me right out there. Bow, just right out there to Denver, direct, no problem. That's on Thursday morning. So in my brilliance of, you know, the booking flights, which I should never do on my own, I book a flight, what I thought was 12 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday to get me back around 5:30 on Saturday. Had a lot of things going on next Saturday. I'll talk about that in a second. Well, guess what? My flight says 12:41 a.m. And it says to get back into Indianapolis at 5 a.m. So I have to work to do tonight. But I wanted to get back because my son is in the Sounds of South program, and he is performing along with a lot of other wonderfully talented people in the Beauty and the Beast program. You probably have seen the little signs all around town, and there's three shows in October, October 17th, October 24th, and again on Halloween, the 31st. I think the 17th show, which is this coming Saturday after the big IU football game, is practically sold out, and I think the October 24th show is close. So you know what? These kids have worked so hard. My son didn't get home last night until about 9:15, and that's happened two nights a week, every week for quite some time. So, you know, go out there and fill up that arena for those kids because they certainly deserve it. And the little preview I've seen, it's pretty spectacular. So, again, the Sounds of South program, it's the Beauty and the Beast production every Saturday night pretty much throughout the month of October. Hey, this next Wednesday night, upcoming class at Ivy Tech is through the Center for Lifelong Learning. It's today's guide to retirement planning. You may have even received a little brochure thing in the mail promoting it. It's a resource for adults age 50 and over. It's all about retirement readiness. We're teaching this class based on our new book. When you come, it's 2.5 hours on Wednesday night, and then we follow up 2.5 hours on the following Wednesday night, so a total of 5 hours of class time. The book is practically the guide. The book is the textbook, and we'll have some things for you to write on and take notes. But you'll get a copy of the book, and then also part of your tuition through the Ivy Tech program is that if you want, you can spend up to an hour with one of the instructors to kind of lay out your own personal situation and see where you stand. So again, it's through Ivy Tech. So go to ivytech.edu, press the Center for Lifelong Learning, and boom, look for our class, Today's Guide to Retirement Planning. I think it's $49 to attend, but don't hold me to that. It could be $59. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about some unexpected expenses in retirement. I got this from a good friend who's a financial advisor that emailed it to me through Northwestern Mutual. And it talks about some unexpected expenses in retirement. You know, what it will cost you to live in retirement, like many people, you might think the answer to the critical questions by using some online budgeting program or looking at what others tell you is a good rule of thumb. And these might be good starting points, but it's important to keep in mind that these expenses that you face today may not be the ones you have in the future. In fact, many Americans fall short in their planning because they fail to consider certain common yet frequently overlooked retirement expenses. Here's a big one: travel. When I sit down with someone and we talk about retirement planning, they say, well, I want to have about $8,000 to $10,000 a year for travel. And my question to them is, how do you come up with that number? Well, we just think that's probably a good number. Well, I've been on vacation before, and that's different than being retirement and traveling. You know, when you're working and the only time you travel is when you have a vacation, money's not as much of an object. I mean, you kind of spend it like you wouldn't spend it normally. But when you're retired, it's not a vacation, it's travel. So it has to be more budgeted than that. So I've had folks come back and say, gosh, you know what? And until when I finally realized I was actually retired and not just on vacation, I finally was able to rein it in. But, you know, you're eating out, you're swiping your cards, you're doing this, you're doing that. And what you thought was a $8,000 budget quickly turned into a $16,000 or $20,000 travel budget. You have more time on your hands. So you want to go visit grandkids. You're going to spend more on gas and plane tickets and all that. So travel is one thing I can tell you is an underestimated expense. Of course, medical expense is another biggie. Most people factor in. We're going to be talking to Brian Bell in just a few minutes on the telephone about the open enrollment with Medicare and some of the costs that you need to be able to cover yourself in retirement. But Medicare doesn't cover things like dental and vision and hearing aids and many prescription drugs or long-term care costs. Even when they have supplemental insurance, many of the people that I know are pretty surprised by how much they need to pay out of pocket beyond what their insurance premiums and copays pay. Of course, major home improvements. Doug Hughes always talks about doing an inventory of your home before you retire. What things are going to need to be replaced in 1 year, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years? And not just the big things like a roof or an air handler, but think about all these little things. Maybe you're going to repaint the home or new carpet. I mean, there's a lot of things that come up. Write those things down. Get them in your budget. You never know. You might have to help an elderly parent or adult children and grandchildren. It's not uncommon for adult children to face life crisis like a job loss, divorce, or some kind of a health problem. And you might simply want to help them out financially to allow them to live at home, maybe back with you until they get back on their feet or something like that. So as my grandpa Hayes always said, He always said, expect the best, but plan for the worst. So the point is to remember that you have a different budget as you age. You need to plan for it. Think about how your life will change in retirement when expenses you have now, what are they? Which ones might go higher? Which ones might go away? What about some new expenses you might face? So take the time to figure this out as you can, much as you can. I mean, it's not going to be perfect, but at least you'll be more aware, more on top of it than maybe your counterparts. Talk to people that are in retirement and say, hey, what are some of the expenses that surprised you? And then, of course, talk with a financial professional with the expertise in retirement planning. He or she can help you consider some of those upcoming expenses that you may not expect. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have Brian Bell. He is our health insurance guru on the phone to talk about open enrollment with Medicare. It did start today. We'll also talk about some of the big surprises as 7 million Americans might see as much as a 52% rise in their Medicare Part B premiums. We'll be right back with Brian Bell. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. October 15th marked the beginning of what they refer to as open enrollment period for Medicare beneficiaries. And on the phone to explain what in the heck this is and who needs to pay attention of it is our in-house correspondent on insurance issues, our own Brian Bell. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing well, David. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking the time. I know you're talking with a group of seniors up in Kokomo on these exact topics today on retirement readiness, and you need to prepare for expenses. We're going to get to that in just a few minutes, but let's talk about this open enrollment. It, you know, comes about upon us October 15th. I think it lasts up until the early part of December. What is open enrollment period? What does it mean to people? Who needs to be paying attention to this?
Well, it's actually referred to as the annual election period, not to be confused with the open enrollment period for those under 65. So the government makes that distinction. But basically, those that need to paying attention is that want to make some sort of a change to their Medicare Advantage plan or to their prescription drug plan. This is the time of year to make those types of changes.
So you can make a change to an Advantage plan or a Medicare supplement plan as well?
No, you can actually make a change to a Medicare supplement plan anytime during the year. As you know, when you turn 65, you've got that guaranteed issue period where no medical questions are asked when you're applying for a Medicare supplement. After that period is over, anytime during the year that you want to change your Medicare supplement, you may do so. However, you're going to be subject to a little bit of medical underwriting.
So the Medicare Advantage plan, basically Medicare pawns this off to a private insurance company. They pretty much take care of all aspects of Medicare, Part A, hospitalization, Part B, doctor visits, and then prescription drug plans, deductibles, and all of that. And sometimes those Advantage plans offer a few other little incentives like wellness programs or maybe gym memberships. Here in the Midwest, here in Monroe County, let's even boil it down there, do you see a lot of people using the Medicare Advantage plan over the traditional Medicare supplement plans?
The Medicare Advantage plans are wildly popular. More people are enrolling in Medicare Advantage plans than any other type of senior health coverage. And it really boils down to, David, it's a cash flow issue. As you sort of fond talking about in retirement, it's about cash flow. And the Medicare Advantage plans, from a monthly premium standpoint, are often less expensive than your Medicare supplements. But, as you know, they are loaded, I guess you could say, with a lot of out-of-pocket exposure in terms of co-payments, deductibles, and maximum out-of-pocket expenses that Medicare supplements are not.
So as you look at Medicare and you look at supplements versus Advantage plans, I mean, one thing you definitely have to consider in having budgeted for, and this is, I know what you're talking about up in Kokomo, is what does health insurance in retirement not pay for? And I think a lot of folks don't budget for the things that they're probably going to need, like eye care or dental work or long-term care. Brian, there's a lot of expenses that these insurances do not cover.
That's true, and you'll find more expenses that they don't cover inside of the Medicare Advantage plans versus a supplement, because most of the coverages that Medicare doesn't pay for the most part, are covered with a supplement. But when you start talking about things like dental, vision, prescription drugs, and long-term care, of course, there are a lot of things that people need to be budgeting for.
So, Brian, let's move on to another topic that's going to be really, really hot. First of all, folks, there is going to be no increases in Social Security benefits next year, as inflation over the past 12 months has, quote, been too low to trigger an automatic cost of living adjustment. This will just mark the third time that seniors have received no increase in their Social Security benefits since COLA was enacted by Congress back in the inflationary times of 1975. It's only happened two other times, 2010, 2011, and now the third time now. This comes from Mary Beth Franklin, of course, the friend of the show out of New Investment News last week. But the week's drama will instead focus on an announcement by the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, Brian, regarding how much retirees will pay for Part B Medicare premiums, which cover a portion of doctor's visits, as they say, and outpatient services. The majority of Medicare recipients continue to pay the same, $104.90 per month, in 2016 as they have in 2015, Brian, but some could see their monthly premiums increase by as much as 52%, according to Mary Beth. What do you think about that?
Well, you're right. It's a hot topic. There's no doubt about it. And the reason that a lot of people are not going to be affected by it is basically because of the COLA, or the lack of a COLA increase this year. There's a hold harmless provision inside of Medicare that if there is no increase in cost of living adjustment, they can't raise the Part B premiums. Now, the reason they're raising the Part B premiums is Medicare by law must maintain a 25% cushion in terms of the premiums collected over what they expect to spend, and since the costs are going up, they basically need to collect more monthly premium. So for the lion's share of people this year, it's not going to affect them, but those people who are going to be enrolling in Medicare in 2016 will definitely be affected. Those who make, in terms of income, an individual over $85,000 a year in income or a couple over $170,000 are going to pay the higher premium. And those folks that pay their Part B premiums directly from their own personal checking account versus having it deducted from Social Security are going to be affected as well. So if you are in this one of these scenarios, you may need to make some adjustments. And one of the quick ways to do it, if you are paying for the premiums outside of deductions from your Social Security benefit, is to change that quickly before the end of the year so you can avoid at least the 2016 increase.
So for people not yet receiving Social Security benefits, including those who have done one of these creative file and suspend strategies that we've talked about, may very well see increases in 2016. Hey, the Social Security Administration, Brian, they use a COLA based on the Consumer Price Index for Urban Wage Earners, and that's compiled by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This index reflects the prices of goods and services purchased by a typical household like yours or mine in the past 12 months, and that's dropped mainly because of falling gas prices, but retirees have different spending patterns than you and I do, and they consume more like medical care, as we just mentioned, and spend less on education that has been going up in price, gasoline, than we do, urban wage earners. The closest measure of inflation for retirees is what's called the Consumer Price Index for Americans 62 of age or older, and they call that the CPIE. Now, in the last 12 months, the CPIE has actually increased 0.65% compared to a decline in the CPIW of 0.3%. And traditionally, the CPIE, the Consumer Price Index for the elderly, tends to be about 2% higher than the government's measure of inflation. And Brian, I just met with a client who's going to be retiring officially in February. Now, he's 66 years old, so he's already on Medicare Part A. And what I've told him is I think we may go ahead in December and sign him up for Social Security so that he's on the Social Security docket. We'll get his Medicare Part B signed up for, have it start deducting, and then see what happens. He wasn't planning to do any of this until February, basically, when he retired, or go on Medicare and sign up for get Social Security until that time. But that's one strategy that you may consider if you're going to retire early next year. Go ahead and sign up for Part A if you're 65, Part A, Part B, and get your Social Security kicked in. If Congress passes something, Brian, that will retract this or put a cap on it, you can always do the payback provision on Social Security and then reboot it again at the age that you intended to do it. There's going to be a lot of creativity, Brian, here in the next few months from us financial guys trying to maneuver around this thing.
That's true. And the flip side of it is, David, if you have an option, you may not want to retire and you may want to stay on your employer-sponsored plan for another year and, ride it out and see what's going to happen. Let's talk numbers. If for an individual, $104.90 going to $159.30, and for a couple, $209.80 going to $318.60 for Part B. That's a big number.
It's a big
and
number.
And so as we're so fond, we're fond of talking about cash flow planning. Those are big numbers to adjust to.
And those income limits, so people will know, that income does include tax-exempt bond interest as well, just so you know. Because it's exempt from federal and state taxes if you have Indiana bonds, but it goes into the calculation to determine how much of your Medicare premiums are taxable. So, Brian, like always, the devils are in the details. So, Brian, hey, thanks so much for taking the time. I know it was a little bit of a challenge with your schedule today, and I'm sure I'll be seeing you soon.
Thanks, David. Have a good evening.
All right, thanks. Guys, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we have questions of the week, have some doozies this week. We had a person that retired in the springtime. They were already 70 and a half, which was retirement minimum distribution age, but they had been still working. So the question is, did they have to take a required minimum distribution? We have answers for that. Had another question about a person that owned a variable annuity that owned it back in 2007, got killed on it. It's now kind of crawled back, but they have something called a guaranteed withdrawal balance on their statement. They want to understand that a little bit better. We also have a Social Security question and about someone who passed away and how to get retirement accounts into the beneficiary's name. So we'll be back to talk about all the questions of the week. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, the other good thing about going to Denver next week is that I am addicted to Uber. And when you're in a big city like Denver, you can Uber anywhere at any time. It is the coolest thing ever. You get these fancy black cars, and it's like $6. So I can't wait to go Ubering in Denver next week once I get my plane ticket fixed, because I'm not traveling Saturday morning at 12:50 a.m. to get back to Indianapolis at 5:50, because I have classes. Ed Slott goes until noon that day, so I was just going to cut out a little bit early to try to make it in time for the Sounds of South production of Beauty and the Beast. Of course, again, we want to encourage you to check this out. You'll be amazed at how young people are so talented. And Gwen Witten, she's fabulous. She does a great job putting those kids together. She's like I don't know how you want to say it. She's a drill sergeant, but a nice one. And I'm just amazed. So my son's a freshman at South, and he's in it, so, of course, as a proud father, you want other people to go watch him. So check it out the next, three Saturdays in a row, 17th, 24th, and 31st. So you can go get tickets, I'm sure, online someplace. All right, we have some questions of the week this week. I had a good one here. This actually was from an existing client. He emailed us. We knew he retired in the springtime. He was already 70 and a half. So he rolled his 401k into his IRA, and this was about March. His question is, does he have to take a required minimum distribution this year since he was still working last year and even into this year? So let me explain first what's called the still working exception. And I had this question again today from an IU professor who's 72, still working, and he's getting notices from Tia Krepp on taking his minimum distribution. The employer plan that you are working under, you do not have to take a required minimum distribution. It's called a still working exception. If you have other accounts, you'll have to, but the one that your current employer sponsored plan, you do not have to take a minimum distribution. That's number one. So number two, in this case, it was a little more complicated because he worked for a publicly traded company and we did what's called a net unrealized appreciation distribution. This is pretty cool. If you work for a company that has stock, and over the years you've bought that stock or has been given to you, there's a cost to that, a basis. In this case, he had about a $30,000 basis on the stock that was worth $500,000. He'd been there 40 years. So we could pull that stock out of the plan when we did the distribution, the rollover. He paid taxes on the $30,000 only. We put that into a non-qualified account, a joint account with his wife. He's using the dividends, and we're going to unwind the position slowly at capital gains rates. If he dies with it, gets stepped up basis, all that good stuff. So the $30,000 would have satisfied or did satisfy the required distribution, but I didn't know for sure how to handle this. So I teed up our technical consultants over at the Ed Slott Group, Beverly, for some help. And she wrote back, David, there was an RMD from the plan that should have been taken out before the rollover to the IRA. And this was before I told Bev about the $30,000 NUA distribution. The client had an RMD from the plan for two reasons. One, he was 70 and a half this year, and he separated from service. Number two, she reminded me that the required distribution is not eligible to be rolled over, so you can't roll that thing over. And she said the first funds out of the plan would be considered the RMD. So after I told her all about it, the $30,000 did satisfy the required minimum distribution. But even though, here's the point, even though he was still working this year, because he separated service in the year he turned 70 and a half, he had to take a minimum distribution. And folks, this is a big deal. Because if you don't take the correct amount of money on a minimum distribution, the penalty is 50%, 50%. So if he was supposed to take, let's say, $20,000 out, and he took nothing, it's a $10,000 penalty. And the IRS is imposing these things now. They used to kind of let it slide, but, you know, they need the money. So they're imposing these things now. Another question. I had a variable annuity that I put about $200,000 in back in 2007. It's worth now $200,000 after it went down so much, but it has come back. I have something called the guaranteed withdrawal balance. It's listed on my statement at $295,000. My question is, if I go cash it in, do I get $295 or just the $200? Okay, so these variable annuities are positioned as, this is positioned as an income benefit. So this is the story. You put $200,000 in. If the market goes up, guess what? That's great. That's your money. But you also have this little side account called the guaranteed withdrawal balance. And that's going to go up by the market value or some set percentage each year. But that's not a cash number. That's just a fictitious number for which an income is based. Most companies pay 5% for life off of the $295, and that's what that is. So if you cash your contract in, you'd only get $200,000. $295 technically is your money, but it's going to take you about 20 years to get it all out. And here's the thing. That sounds really good, and it can be. But if you start taking the 5% for life, which is basically $15,000, it comes out of your money first. So the $200,000, if it goes to zero, you're still going to get your $15,000 every single year as a guaranteed income payment. But you don't get into the insurance company's pocket until you've gotten through all of your money first. So the fees on those are a little bit salty, and you know there are some good guarantees. There's some death benefit guarantees, and I'm not down on them at all. I just want you to understand what they are. And it was prompted by this outstanding question that I have actually seen and have addressed many, many times over the last few years as these accounts have rebounded back to reasonable values. All right, I have another question here. I started Social Security in February when I retired at age 63. I've been asked to come back to work part-time 3 days a week for $20 an hour. I'm not sure if I should do it. I'm not sure how that will mess up my Social Security payments. Well, let's talk about that. So, first of all, if you're full retirement age, and for most people these days that's like 66, you could earn whatever you want and not worry about your Social Security. But for those that are under full retirement age, like this lady, 63, you need to worry about it. So, let's do the math. $20 an hour, that works out to $24,960 if you work the entire year. Now, there is a income limitation with Social Security of $15,480, and it's going to be a little bit more next year. For every dollar you make over that, or I'm sorry, every $2 that you make over that, your Social Security benefit will be reduced by one. It's not a permanent reduction, it's a temporary reduction. So what you might consider at this time of the year is that you're not going to be working a full year. So you could potentially put in one-third of this over the next, what, 3-4 months, still be under the earnings limitation for 2015, still continue to work into 2016 another 3-4 months before you hit that cap of, again, $15,000. But even if you go over a little bit, it's not the end of the world. As soon as you stop, your Social Security will rebound right to where it started. And also, here's another thought. You just started it in February. The Social Security Administration does have what's called the payback provision in the first 12 months of when you started benefits. If you decided, hey, I really shouldn't have started because maybe I wanted to go back to work or some other situation occurred, pay it back. They just reboot it like it never happened. You can earn whatever you want. Then when you retire, quote, again, you can fire them back up and your benefit will be bigger because remember, you took a pretty substantial reduction by taking it at 63 over what you could have gotten at full retirement. Here's one more question I think we have time for. My mother-in-law passed away. She had retirement accounts through her old employer. My husband and his brother are beneficiaries. How will all this work? Well, the good thing is beneficiary forms are direct transfer. That means they don't have to go through the will. They don't go through probate. They're going to go directly to your husband and your brother-in-law. Basically, what we do is you set up what are called inherited retirement accounts, and then that'll be split into two properly titled retirement accounts. one for the benefit of your husband, one for the benefit of your brother-in-law. Now, each of them would be required to take a minimum distribution based on their life expectancy, and they can stretch those payments out over a long period of time, leave the money in a tax-qualified plan, enjoy the tax-deferred status. Now, if she passed away this year, they're going to have to take her minimum distribution, by the way, if she was over 70 and a half before all this can be done. So hopefully that helped. We're going to take a break, folks, wrap up the big show. If you have a question that you'd like answered, go to cfci.us. Contact us, put your name in, question, we'll definitely answer it, and we may very well use it on the show. And unlike most shows, we don't give away t-shirts or hats for presenting the questions. We just like to answer them. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. So again, next week I'll be out of the studio at the Ed Slott Elite IRA Advisor Group meeting in Denver, but we have two capable gentlemen sitting in for me, Wayne Thacker and Ryan Belcher, both are going to be in studio. So if you are a government employee, if you are part of the INPERV system, you definitely want to check out this show. Those guys handle all of Monroe County schools, Davies County. They handle, Monroe County government. Anyone and everyone that is in the PERF system or INPERV system definitely needs to tune in. They talk about the coordination of your benefits. They put together a terrific educational workshop called Can I Ever Retire? And it's a workshop that addresses exactly what most people's concerns are when they work, is can I ever retire? But they've put together an outstanding program that's specific for people that are in the INPERV system. So you want to check that out for sure. They'll give you some other stuff. So just because you're not doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to the big show. And I may call in. In fact, I probably will call in. I can't not check on the show when I'm out of town. You know me. I'm kind of a control freak. So I'll give them a call, but I'll leave it up to them. They're good. They'll deliver outstanding information, and you'll really, really enjoy it. Don't forget, next Wednesday night, we kick off the classes at Ivy Tech. Go to ivytech.edu, the Center for Lifelong Learning. It's the class called Retirement Planning Today. It's all about retirement readiness, getting ready to get ready for retirement. It's based on our book, Today's Guide to Retirement Planning, the resource for those adults ages 50 and older. We really would like to have some great attendance. It's the first time we've ever done this, so come out and support us. I know it's going to cost some money, but you get a free book. You get a free one-hour consultation with the instructors once the course is done, so hopefully it'll be a good bang for your buck. Guys, I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. I hope everyone has a great weekend, and again, go Hoosiers. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Guest opinions on this show do not necessarily represent those of the radio station, David Hayes, or CFCI. You should always consult with an investment professional before making important investment decisions. Investment advice offered through CFCI, an SEC registered investment advisor, 674 South College Avenue, Bloomington, Indiana.